Hello and welcome to the Smart Aging podcast hosted today by me, Sean Barrett. I'm one of the co-founders of Interesting Times Gang, and today I will be chatting to our head of design, Alexander Westerlund, regarding our role in the project. So without any further ado, here's a conversation between myself and Alexander. So I'm here with Alexander Westerlund, one of the founders of Interesting Times Gang. Or Alex, maybe you can tell us a little bit about who you are and your background before we go into depth about the Smart Aging Project and our role in it.
Absolutely. So my name is Alexander Westerlund, and I'm one of the co-founders of Interesting Times Gang. I have a background in engineering and industrial design and architecture, and this project, when it came about, it felt really close to the heart. When studying at the Lund's University, I actually took extra curriculum courses in rehabilitation design and design towards these kind of projects. When you looked into people with disabilities or a lack of sight or worse eyesight that you get with years, and how you can cater for them with specific environments or tools to make their living better, or at least as good, or to be able to take a course at the university. People don't realize that when you to find the stairs, find the elevator, yeah. Come into the right classroom, and these kind of questions I always felt very intrigued by as a designer, to be able to solve and to be able to help people.
Yeah, that's very cool. I think one of the interesting things about us and our team and our design studio is this really interesting hybrid competence in a very cross-functional sort of multi-discipline design world, where we have very different backgrounds. I myself am not a designer, but am more interested in and focused on the psychological effects of a certain aesthetic or a certain emotional response to what we produce, the environment, the products. And we're quite a diverse team of different people that makes a very interesting and more sort of systematic process possible, which I think is great. So if you were to explain what Interesting Times Gang does, how would you describe it?
Oh, that can be a tricky question, but I think what all of us in the team are is very curious. We want to discover, we want to understand how things work and why things are like they are, and do they have to continue to be that way, or at least to find a reason why it developed in a certain way or aspect. So that's one key aspect of this project, is to learn about why are these environments built in these ways currently, and how can you do to, or what can you do to improve on them, or to find ways to make the environment better. And yeah, you talked just the other day about the environment and how much it affects us as humans.
Yeah, I think that's something that's crystallized for us over the last 5 years since we started the company. Something that's become more apparent in our form language, or the sort of visual response that our designs, our products, the environments that we're responsible for creating elicit in visitors or a certain target group, is a result of a very biophilic form language, which I guess wasn't initially as obvious as it is today. It's something that has evolved as the studio has matured in our approach, and it's something that we've then studied more deeply around the effects of textures or shapes or colors that are somehow part of our evolutionary DNA, something that has evolved over hundreds of thousands of years in human beings and is programmed into our psychology to help us feel safe, to create psychological safety, and the effect that it has. I've recently read a really interesting study about the effects of being in nature with children with NPF or neurodiversity like ADHD, that a recent study that I was reading about where they could show that 20 minutes a day over a week could have a similar effect to their ability to concentrate and to focus as the ADHD medicine which they are prescribed to help them sort of navigate their lives, which I think is super interesting. There was another one that I was recently exposed to where two images were shown to two separate test groups, one being a very modernist, brutal industrial environment, and the other being a scene from nature. And then these groups were asked to answer a series of questions, do a test where they displayed the ones that had spent 40 seconds looking at an image from a more natural a field filled with flowers and grass and all the sort of interesting diversity that exists in nature performed much better. They were able to perform with a higher level of focus and greater rhythm in their answers, a higher frequency in their answers, which I also find super interesting and exciting. So I think this is where we are able to apply a very different approach that I think most of the time when it comes to this sort of challenge, how do we create environments that are better and smarter for an elderly target group? A lot of times, I think in the narrative that we have around us is a big focus on modern technology, and we think about sensors and we think about AI and smart ways of being able to know if someone's fallen, for example, and needs help, or if someone might have wandered off and we need alert systems for that, or other sort of diversions in their sort of state or their safety or their biology. But I don't think there's a lot of focus on the emotional and cognitive effects of just the aesthetics of the environment. So I think that's where we will provide a very different perspective and a different value, which is super exciting.
Yeah, and super interesting, Sean. And I also would like to butt in with the whole issue with a bit of like ageism. In this day and age, there's a lot of focus on like young people, and everyone wants to stay young with all beauty operations, and there's a lot of talk about being young. And older people are kind of forgotten in that sense. If you look back in time, there was a lot more positivity connected to age, with like wisdom, knowledge, or like an old elder in the village that you took advice from.
Yeah.
And nowadays it's more about that you've done your work and now you're like free to just wait until your time is up,
yeah,
so to speak.
Yeah.
And to, I think, humans in all ages, what you need is a purpose, and you want to be wanted,
yeah,
and you want to have like a goal, not just to sit at a place and wait your time out.
Yeah.
And I also think, to connect with what you said about nature, you, if you're like in a more sterile environment or in a box, you can't really see the flow of time or evolution or stuff moving and growing. And to have a connection with that, I think, is very valuable. And also that humans are very good to change stuff that we can measure, but it's very hard to measure these kind of emotional aspects.
That's right.
But it can't be even more important sometimes than, yeah, the measurable ones.
yeah, exactly. And I think that sort of comes back what you're talking about, the perception of the passing of time and sort of being able to orient it yourself in some sort of place physically and spatially when we create these sort of sterile rectilinear boxes where we sort of store human beings, and we remove all the aspects that have been as part of our human evolution, from the changing of times of day to the changing of the seasons. All of those sort of natural points of reference are removed, and that seems incredibly unfortunate, and we're really excited to learn about the effects that it would possibly have on, as you say, a group that is generally ignored and forgotten, and this type of design approach isn't really something that is considered for them. So that's a big dream for me, and a goal in this project is to be able to see how the work that we've been doing in other categories for other commercial projects or environments where there's a lot of focus on sort of the youth, as you say, and even the test I mentioned, which is about the effects of being in nature for kids with ADHD, there's very little of that sort of thing when it comes to the older generation or the type of people that are in assisted living. So super exciting. All right. Well, thanks, Alex, for taking the time to chat here. I know you've got a busy day.
Yeah.
And we're working hard on our research in this project. So really glad that we got to have this chat, and I hope it was valuable for everybody listening.
Thank you, Sean.
All right. Thank you for listening to the Smart Aging podcast. I hope you enjoyed this conversation with myself and Alexander Westerlund. And please pay attention to the Smart Aging website and our LinkedIn page, our Facebook page, where we will be sharing the progress of the project and having more conversations and podcasts in the future. Bye-bye.